Tonight's reading is from Corinthians 5, verses 1 to 10, and that can be found on page 1161 on the Church Bibles. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteed what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad.
Bethany, thank you so much for reading that for us. Let me add my welcome to Leanne's. Great to see you here this evening. My name's Woody. I'm one of the ministers here. And we're going to take the time to look at that passage together. But as we start, I realise it's warm, isn't it? So hopefully as we go through this passage together, stay with me. If you see someone or the person next to you closing their eyes and you suspect they're not just praying, but it might be something else, give them a little nudge so they stay with us as we work our way through this passage together. As we start, let me ask you a question. I wonder how hopeful you feel at the moment. I wonder how hopeful you feel at the moment. Now, of course, you could apply that question to lots of different situations or contexts, and so it kind of depends a bit about what subject I'm speaking about when I ask that question of how hopeful you are. But generally speaking, as we look around the world and we look at this country and maybe for yourself as you reflect on things in your own life, generally speaking, it feels like there are lots of problems out there and not many solutions to our problems. And as a result, it can often feel that any kind of hope we might have for change feels much more like a kind of fingers crossed kind of hope. I don't know how it's going to turn out. I don't know what's going to happen. But I just hope something might happen. Just to make a confession to you, I've had that fingers crossed kind of hope for the last couple of hours. For the last 2 hours, I've been a bit of a nervous wreck. If you're not aware, today is the last day of the Premier League football season. I'm a Tottenham fan, so this year hasn't been very good. The last few weeks have been really bad. Now, I realise there might be people in the room who don't know the scores and don't want to know the scores because they want to watch Match of the Day without finding out the scores. So I'm not going to say any more than the last 2 hours, I haven't felt very hopeful. In fact, for the last few weeks and months, I haven't felt very hopeful. It's very much felt like a fingers crossed kind of hope. I don't know how this is going to turn out, but somehow, maybe, it will be okay. Is it possible, though, to have the kind of hope which isn't just a fingers crossed kind of hope, but a sure hope that then drives our living, that shapes the way we live our lives? In one of my favourite films, The Shawshank Redemption, there is a scene in the film with the two main characters, Andy Dufresne and Red, where they have a conversation about hope. Shawshank Redemption in the film, it follows a group of prison inmates and what they get up to in prison. And Andy Dufresne, on the left of the picture there, he's a fairly recent inmate, and he has the hope of getting out one day. And the hope of what life will be like once he's out of there. He's hopeful. And so he says to his friend, Red, hope is a good thing, maybe the greatest of things. And good things never die. Whereas Red has been in the prison for a long time, and he's seen people who had hope and their hopes were dashed, and he's seen the effect that has had on them. And he responds to Andy by warning him. And he says, hope is a dangerous thing. Hope has the power to drive a man insane, he says. Now, I'm not suggesting that we base our philosophy on hope on Andy Dufresne and Red and the Shawshank Redemption. And they're quite extreme positions on hope. But I think it shows us the kind of general feeling about hope. On the one hand, we hold on to hope and the hope of something to happen, and it shapes the way that we live. It drives our life. On the other hand, we look at situations around the world, we look at our own situation, and hope feels a dangerous thing, because it's just a fingers crossed kind of hope, and we just don't know what way it's going to go. The Christian faith, for the Christian believer, there is a hope that we can hold on to, that can shape and drive our lives. And in this passage this evening, Paul shows us that we can look to the future to have a real and certain hope for the now. The first word in our passage, if you look down or if you've closed your Bibles, open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 1161. The very first word of our passage is the word for. For is a connecting word. It connects what went before to what's about to be said. And so Paul, by using this word, shows us that he's continuing the thought that he's had throughout chapter 4, where he's spoken about troubles and hardships that we face. And twice in chapter 4, he calls the readers, do not lose heart or do not lose hope, but look to the future, he says. Do you notice it in the last sentence of chapter 4, verse 18? He says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Fix our eyes on what is unseen. But that can be hard, can't it? Because often what we see are the things that grab our attention, that dominate our thoughts. Whereas the things that are unseen, well, those are the things that are often easier to forget and to ignore, especially in the hard, fast-paced realities of life. And so Paul in chapter 5, as he continues, 4, he continues on with the unseen eternal realities to give us confidence and hope in the now. Look, as we get into these verses, there's two things that I'm really conscious of before we get going. First thing is, these are complicated verses. There's lots of concepts in there that are hard to get our heads around and try and understand. I was speaking to someone a couple of weeks ago who looked at these verses as part of his PhD thesis. It was a helpful chat with him as he tried to help me understand what's going on. But it's also quite confusing. There's lots in here. And so I imagine we will have questions now, having heard it read, and we may still have questions afterwards. And that's okay. Fortunately, we've got communion, so there's no Q&A, so I won't have to answer those questions. Now, what we're going to do is, if you have your questions, make a note of them, whether write them down or type them into your phone. And next week, we'll try and have a little bit of an extended Q&A, both looking back at today's passage, because I think it does raise questions, as well as looking at next week's passage. Do store those questions, because there are questions. We don't have all the answers to the questions, but I think the things we can know, Paul shows us in this passage. Firstly, these are complicated verses. Second thing I'm conscious of, these are hard verses. These verses point us forward to after we die and the realities beyond that. And so it forces us to think about death and what happens after we die. And that can be really hard, I'm conscious, for those in this room who may have experienced a loved one recently dying. But I hope we'll see that Paul writes these verses to give us hope. That whilst we may feel helpless in the face of death, we don't need to feel hopeless. These are wonderfully hope-filled verses. I remember someone saying to me once, Christianity is not pie in the sky when we die, but it is steak on the plate whilst we wait. Paul here is saying, look, it's not just kind of unseen things that are happening somewhere over there at some time that have no meaning or make a difference to the here and now. No, these things that are unseen realities in the future, they can be steak on the plate whilst we wait. They can make a difference to the here and now. So we're going to see two things, two big hopes that these verses give us as we look at these verses. And then at the end, after we've looked at those two things, we're going to think about two implications for these verses in our lives in the here and now that make a difference to the here and now. So let's get into it. We've only done one word so far, four, but we're going to speed up, don't worry. First thing then, the certain hope of a new body. The certain hope of a new body. Paul, in these verses 1 to 5, he speaks about an earthly tent, verses 1 and 4, and he speaks about a building from God, a heavenly dwelling, verses 1, 2, and 4. And as he does that, he contrasts the two. First, when he uses this term earthly tents, he's using it to describe our present physical bodies on this earth. And then he contrasts them with the new bodies that we receive as part of the new creation when Jesus returns. So first, he says our present physical bodies are a bit like tents. Paul would have known what he was talking about. Paul, we find out in Acts, has the profession of tent making on the side to be able to fund his missionary journeys. And if you think about a tent, they're temporary, aren't they? You're not meant to stay in them forever. They're not necessarily very stable, and certainly not if you happen to be in one during a storm or windy weather. And tents, they wear and tear over time. But Paul wants to show us that our new heavenly bodies are like a building. They're solid. They stand firm. They last. Now, I don't know in this room whether we have many campers or fans of camping. I'm very happy to admit I'm not one of them. I've not had a great experience. When I Googled images of camping, pretty much everything that came up was this like idyllic picture of camping. You've got beautiful sunshine all the time. You've got just this lovely countryside, and as you unzip your tent, it just looks out to a lake or mountains or the coast. Don't believe the lie. It's not always like that. So I had to look a bit harder and narrow my search to camping whilst it's wet to get more of a reflection of how my experience was. So this was more my experience. I've been camping twice in my life. The first time was when I was pretty young. Me and some of my brothers and my mum and dad, we camped in the back garden of my grandparents' house. Just as a kind of taster, which maybe you've done this or your children have done this when they were younger. Basically, if you don't like it, you just go inside. It's beautiful. That was one time. The second time, it didn't go well. There was a storm, and so that's not me, but in the picture on the right-hand side, that's more my experience of camping. There was a storm, it rained, we were on a slope at the bottom, and so the rain just rushed down into the tent. And so I found myself longing to return to something more solid. A solid house with a solid bedroom and a solid bed and heating. Paul says something similar is going on with our own bodies. And yet the danger is that we can think in reverse. We often think that the here and now is the solid, real, tangible, stable thing. And often think of the future as kind of fluffy or fuzzy or hazy or vague. And Paul says you've got it the wrong way round. Our bodies, Paul says, they're a bit like tents. And so do you see how he describes it? Twice he says, verse 2 and verse 4, we groan. Verse 4, he talks about the burdens. Living in our physical bodies can be hard. In fact, verse 1, it's stark, the language he uses, isn't it? One day they will be destroyed. It's a stark way that Paul talks about death, that one day our physical bodies will come to an end. And so it leaves us longing for change. It leaves us desiring for something more. And Paul says there is more. Because actually the reality is that this world is just a shadow of what is to come. Or to use the phrase that C.S. Lewis used, this is just the shadowlands. Because the heavenly body, do you see how it's described? Verse 1, it's not built by human hands, but it's from God. And it's an eternal house. Now, if you're a football fan before today, forget about the last day of the Premier League season. But if you're a football fan during the week, there's been a few announcements that have happened, not least the announcement of the England World Cup squad, which is going to finally bring football home, apparently, this summer. We live in hope, don't we? And there's probably not much. Oh, come on. Maybe. This is our year. Apparently, some team won the Premier League as well, but that doesn't matter. But also what happened is Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola announced that he was leaving the club after 10 years. So if you're a Manchester City fan, apparently that's really, really emotional, really sad. And if you saw it, Pep Guardiola apparently wrote himself, maybe he did, a statement to announce it. And the first three words of his statement were this: nothing is eternal. Now, Pep has got a lot of things right in football, I'll give him that. But if I saw him, I'd be able to say, Pep, you got this wrong. Because Paul tells us that there is something eternal. Did you see it? We have a permanent, solid, better house in heaven. Something new, but with continuity. At the end of verse 4, when he speaks of so that what is mortal may be swallowed up in life, he's speaking, giving the idea of something of this body being transformed into what it's meant to be. How can we have this confidence? Well, Paul tells us, verse 5, now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. God has given us his Holy Spirit with every Christian believer as a deposit, a guarantee, a down payment, if you like, to guarantee what is to come. It's almost exactly the same language that Paul uses back in chapter 1, verse 22. Look, I'm sure many of us in this room will be able to relate to the physical groanings of our bodies. Maybe it's ourselves, and we realize that our bodies weren't or aren't what they once were. Or if you're young enough to still feel very fit and healthy and bounce around the place, maybe it's others that we know and we love, who we see as they get older, the groaning of their bodies. And so Paul says there is encouragement, there is hope, there is a certain hope of a new body, which is indestructible. My grandmother, towards the end of her life, suffered from Alzheimer's. If you don't know what Alzheimer's is, it's a horrible, horrible condition that causes someone to lose their memory and to lose awareness of who's around them, what's around them. And it was horrible for us. And I remember my dad, so it was his mum, my dad telling me of a conversation he had when he was finding it hard and chatting to another Christian about how he was finding it. And the Christian replied with these words. They said, "It wasn't meant to be like this, and one day it won't be. It wasn't meant to be like this, and one day it won't be." You see, for every single person in this room who trusts in Jesus Christ, who calls himself a Christian, there is the certain hope of a new body. But it's not just the hope of a new body. But secondly, it's the certain hope of being home with Jesus, verses 6 to 10. In these verses, Paul uses slightly different contrasts as he speaks of the contrast of where we are. Did you notice it? Verse 6, he says, if we are still in this body, if we are at home in this body, then we are away from being in the presence of Jesus Christ. We are away from the Lord. Now, of course, there's the reality for every Christian believer of having God through his Holy Spirit living in us. Paul's already said that in verse 5, the reality that we know God and have him living with us. But that's still, a limited sense, a taster, an anticipation of what is to come. Because whilst every Christian has the Holy Spirit living inside of them, there is, if you like, the now and the not yet. The now, the very real reality of having the Holy Spirit living inside of us. And yet the not yet of not being in the very real presence of Jesus Christ and being able to see him face to face. And so, verse 7, Paul says, we live by faith, not by sight. He's saying we don't see it all right now. And so we live by faith, a trust in who God is and what he has already done for us in Jesus Christ. Faith that because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection back to life again, sin has been dealt with. We are forgiven. Faith that God's Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And one day, that faith will be turned to sight. And Paul tells us in verse 8, his preference, if you like. He says, we are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. He talks like that in other places. In Philippians chapter 1, he talks about desiring to be with Christ, which is better by far. He would much prefer to be in the presence of God. We got that sense of distancing and longing to be physically with people, didn't we, 6 years ago? Sorry to bring it up. But do you remember COVID and lockdown, Zoom parties, Zoom quizzes, having all these faces stare back at you and making sure you're looking all right whilst you're still in your tracksuit bottoms underneath the screen? And look, for the time, at the time, it was a good alternative. It allowed us to stay in contact and in some ways see other people. But I don't know about you, but having this kind of taste made me long to be back in the real presence with other people. Here is the wonderful reality for every single Christian believer, second half of verse 8. When you are away from the body, you are at home with the Lord. There is no delay. There is no waiting. From the moment we die, we are with Jesus. Paul, when he speaks about it here and speaks elsewhere, he says there's only two instances. Either you're at home in this physical body, or you are at home with Jesus Christ, with the one who has loved you from all eternity, and who will love you for all eternity. He says it in Philippians 1, as we've seen, I desire to depart and be with Christ. We see it at the cross when Jesus dies and the criminal who is crucified next to him, and Jesus says to the criminal, "Today you will be with me in paradise with Jesus, where we will live by sight." And you notice how it's described? At home. For many, home is the ideal, the dream. Home base tells us they can make your house your home. For some people, maybe some people here, home isn't the place that you want it to be. But I think all of us have a sense of what we think home should be like. Paul says, going to be with Jesus will be going home at last. Here is the home for every Christian believer. And so here is the wonderful, certain hope for any and every Christian believer who faces death. And here is the wonderful, wonderful assurance for anyone who has lost someone who trusts in Jesus Christ. They're not lost. They're back home with Jesus. We sang about it, didn't we, in the song just before the reading. Then joy unspeakable will flood my soul, for I am truly home. What a wonderful hope we have of being home with Jesus. And look, for Paul, this isn't just nice ideas for some time in the future that's not very tangible, like pie in the sky when we die. No, these are real realities that challenge and change the now, steak on the plate whilst we wait. And so here's two implications for us as we finish. First one that Paul shows us, we can have confidence in the face of death. We can have confidence in the face of death. Twice he talks about having confidence in verse 6 and verse 8. It's not a word that you hear spoken very much at the time of death. Pain, tears, mourning, sadness, other words rightly used, because death is a horrible thing. And yet Paul says you can add confidence to that list if you are a Christian about what lies beyond death. Do you notice how sure Paul is throughout this passage? Verse 1, he says, we have a building from God. Verse 3, it's not if, but when we are clothed. Verse 5, as we've said, we've been given the Holy Spirit who guarantees what is to come. And so, very next sentence after verse 5, he says, therefore, we are always confident. You see, for every Christian believer, even though we may have to face death, we need not fear death. It is a wonderful encouragement, a wonderful hope. And it can also be a wonderful witness to a watching world. A world which, as we've said, doesn't seem to have much hope at the moment. And especially when it comes to talking about death. And yet we have the opportunity to show a watching world the hope that we have. And if you're here and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, maybe you're looking into Christian things and who this guy Jesus is, can I ask you sensitively, respectfully, how do you feel about death? Because I don't think that we deal with death very well as a society or as a culture. In fact, the main way we deal with it is ignoring that it even happens. But the Christian message is a message of hope in the face of death. Now, I think that's worth looking into more. So if that's you, please do keep looking into it. Ask someone you know who's a Christian to find out more. confidence in the face of death, and then secondly, we can have purpose in the midst of life. Final two verses that Paul writes, verses 9 and 10, he says, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Paul says, so we live our lives to please him. It gives us something, or better, someone to live for. And verse 10 almost gives us an added motivation, doesn't it? That we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for how we have lived our lives. And look, I realize that verse sounds scary, doesn't it? And so be reassured, if you're a Christian here, that this isn't an appearing before Christ on a kind of salvation or condemnation basis. No, if you're a Christian, if you trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, trusting that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, you are forgiven. And so you have the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. And nothing can change that. But the Bible does also speak of a reality that every single person, Christian or not, will stand before God and give an account for how they've lived their lives. In fact, here it looks like Paul is actually addressing the Christian believer. And so how have we used the gifts, the life, the time that we've been given? How faithfully have we used our time? How well have we pursued opportunities to live for him? Let's use it to please God because of the sure hope that we have of the future. As we've said, in Shawshank Redemption, Andy Dufresne lived his life in prison because of that hope that he held on to, that one day he might be able to get out. Don't worry, I'm not going to spoil it for you. I mean, you have had plenty of time to watch the film, but I won't spoil it for you because that's what I'm normally good at. But in the film, you see how Andy's hope of getting out one day, it shapes the way that he lives. It changes the way that he lives. Christians have a hope. And so because of the future, because of the certain hope of a new body, because of the certain hope of being at home with Jesus, will we let it change and shape the way that we live now? Let it give you confidence and purpose and hope for the now. Let me pray for us. Paul says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but as what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Father God, we thank you and praise you for Jesus Christ, and so because of that certain hope that we have, a hope of a new body, the hope of being at home with Jesus. And so, Lord, please help that future hope shape our here and now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.